Hot water needs replacing? Go for one that's steady, hot and strong. Ask your plumber to install a ream. The Big Breakfast, weekdays from 5:30.
Welcome to Monday's Catch-Up Podcast. It is the 10th of August, 2020. Marto Margo and Nick Cody, they're all here coming up. We launched a Broncos investigation, trying to get to the bottom of what's gone wrong there. Also, weird injuries. We took your calls on that. And how did you get saved? Day 5 of Nick's quarantine diaries. There is some freaky technology going on at Margo's local Woolies. It's all coming up in the Catch-Up Podcast. Anything that didn't make the show, we want to cover off here.
Yeah, I forgot to get Ninja Warrior, what do they call it?
Ninja Warrior.
Is it Ninja Warrior the name of the show?
Yes.
Jeez, I actually watched some of it last night. It was the grand final. I was under the impression, I was told it was the grand final.
What? And it's not?
In the AFL and rugby league, there's the grand final.
Grand final day. And then it's like a day everyone puts it in their calendar.
There's only one of them. Unless I think there was a couple of times in AFL history there's been draws and they came back the next week. All right, Ninja Warrior, that was grand final part one. Grand final part two is on tonight, Monday night.
Why did they have to spread it out over two parts?
Because they're deceitful bastards. That's why. They're rip-off merchants from way back. Yeah. And it's the same four, seems to be the same four dorks. You know, more suited to climbing around in a library than TV. The same four blokes as last year in the grand final.
Are they doing like a best of seven NBA style?
Yeah, right.
No, just for some reason they had to split it up. A lot of disappointment, though, of nerds. It was good.
Okay, well, we might have an update on part two of the grand final on tomorrow's show. In the meantime, enjoy the Catch-Up Podcast.
Beautiful day for sports. Yesterday, of course, I'm still in hotel quarantine. We've got two connecting rooms, my wife, son and I. Sunday, Arvo, a little bit of me time. I said, guys, you go hang out in there. I'm going to hang out in this room where I do the show from, and I'm just going to watch some sport. The UFC was on. Ultimate Fighting Championship. Nice. That's right, Dave. Mixed martial arts.
Is that because you told Luch you were going to go to the other room and have some me time?
I said,
fighting challenge.
I've got to do work, so now I have to talk about UFC just so I can prove myself correct. But there was a fight, the headline fight yesterday, Derek Lewis versus Alexei Oleinik, two heavyweight fighters, big units.
Yeah, are they any good? Like, I haven't heard about either of these two.
Derek Lewis is great. He's a big knockout artist. He broke the record for the amount of knockouts UFC heavyweight fighter has ever won by, so now he's got the record for knockouts. It was a close fight first round. He won by knockout in the second round, and he's always been funny in his post-show interviews. Joe Rogan, the commentator, once asked him post-fight why he was pulling his shorts down, and he said, "Well, Joe, it's because my balls are hot."
So he's a bit loose.
He's a bit loose on the mic. The Black Beast, Derek Lewis. And they went to him yesterday, but because of COVID-19, he's not allowed to be interviewed in the octagon. So he's got to go and stand in a separate area, put a headset on, and wait for the commentators to talk to him. And unfortunately, Derek Lewis didn't realise he was live on TV.
Derek, I can say you have the most knockouts in UFC heavyweight history, my friend.
I gotta take a shit, man.
Well, listen, we'll get to that in a second.
Oh, hello?
No. Can you hear me, brother?
Oh, yeah, what's up, man?
He just wanted to have a cheeky post-fight poo.
What do you expect? You just knocked someone out. What do you want to do?
Someone might have punched him in the tummy.
Oh, a little bit. The Big Breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto Margo and Nick Cody for Ream. Marto launches his Brisbane Broncos investigation at 6:20 this morning. Margo?
Gentlemen, I went grocery shopping on the weekend, and I know that sounds relatively uninteresting, but what was interesting? Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
Is that all you
I'd
got,
love
Dave?
To go.
We need some. Whey! Yeah! Go the tight. Shopping!
Groceries.
Aldi, Franklin's, IGA, Coles, Woolies. Where were we?
I was at Woolies. A brand new Woolies at the Logan Hyperdome has opened up, and it's flash. It is fancy. Oh. Let me tell you, we are doing big things in Logan.
Are we?
Our Woolies is off the chain. Not only is it shiny and new and beautiful and everything's perfect and the apples are shone and the floor is gleaming.
Is it a brand new building or they've just done a refit?
No, they've done it. Like that whole end of the Hyperdome, they have refitted out and they've done all beautiful like decor and light fitting. things and a new playground. And
a playground inside a
big,
Woolies.
Big, beautiful, like terracotta pots with beautiful plants in them. Jesus. They've got two new openings, like where you
it's
come
an experience.
In from the car park. You know, like it's all these big, beautiful lights and windows. Yeah. It's really nice. It's quite fancy for the Hyperdome. Bit of an upgrade.
I've never been into the Hyperdome. Is it?
It's like being at Garden City, but not, you know.
Oh, is that how you get aspirational? If you live down that way, Garden City is the big time.
Garden City's the big time.
Oh, my God.
So I went in to do my groceries, and I was floored not only by the shininess of the new Woolies, but they have a robot in there, Marto and Nick.
All right.
They have.
How did the story not start with robot? How are you talking about how fresh the apples are? There's a bloody robot kicking around Woolies.
Well, we had terracotta. Surprise.
We had terracotta pots in there ahead of the robot.
Yeah,
too.
There's plants. There's a robot.
I was just leading you through the, you know, I was excited. And then all of a sudden, I'm greeted.
A directional robot? Like, do you go up, you know, people ask what aisle is so-and-so in? That's such a bugger for people who work in supermarkets.
No, it was like a robo-vac. But then with like a big pole on it, and it had cameras, and it scans. So it scans the floors for any hazards, slips, spills, you know, anyone spilt anything or dropped an apple, or it picks up all of that so that it says, warning, do not walk
how
here.
How high is the pole?
Taller than me.
Yeah. So
and then it has a camera that then scans all the produce aisles to let them know and alert them that it needs filling. Like, hey, we're out of bananas. Come and fill up the bananas.
So it's taken
sends
someone's
a
job.
Message to out the storeroom.
That's someone's job.
And well, no, someone then comes and and then fills the things.
No, but
fills
there's
the
a person
things.
Who rolls along all the aisles. I understand the supermarkets.
But
and,
that's not
and
it.
And they say, let's go and fill eight.
I was impressed.
Short on Tim Tams.
Has the robot been programmed for the Hyperdome? Like, no, I do not have a spare cigarette.
you got $2?
No, but if you think that is impressive, wait till you hear this. They have this concept. I saw this lady doing, and I was like, excuse me, you're not supposed to be talking to people, but I'm like, excuse me, what are you doing? She's like, oh, the scan and go. Have you not downloaded the app? Like I was some sort of extraterrestrial person that
Woolies
had no
app.
Idea. There's a Woolies app, and it's called Scan and Go, and you scan your products as you put them into your trolley, and then you get a barcode on the way out, and it charges your PayPal account, and off you go. Done. You don't have to
go to
the checkout. You don't have to load up your trolley onto the conveyor belt, put it back in the bags, put it back in your trolley. You can just scan it, put it into your trolley.
That does seem a waste now when you think about it. Why were we taking stuff out and putting it back in?
Double handling. Man. You're putting it into the trolley, taking it out of the trolley, putting it on the conveyor belt, putting it off the conveyor belt, back into the trolley. Then you've got to take it out of the trolley and put it in the boot of your car, take it out of the boot of your car. Now that's just one less
step. How can I be sure
step.
That you have scanned everything and you haven't paid
well,
for
they
yourself?
Well, they still have, you know, an
you're
attendant.
Stealing stuff.
That stands at the end, and she can check your bags randomly. But they have this scanning system where they collate what's in your trolley compared to what your bill is, and they collaborate it and go, yep, no, that looks about, sounds about right. Off you go.
The future is here.
The future is here, people, and it's happening in Logan.
Wow.
It's Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Triple M. If you ask the question, who's the biggest victim of this pandemic, you go, is it USA? Is it Brazil? No, it's the Broncos. They were leading the competition. Remember, 2 from 2 when the whole shutdown happened. He went, oh, this is going to be a great season. This will be super.
What happened?
I just did me stats then. They're giving away 31 points per game. They're more than 400 points for the 13 games, and they're only scoring 14. This is the most dreadful Broncos in the history of the world, and quite simply, you get away with it. If you were just a private owner had it, you know, it'd be all his worry. This is owned by shareholders.
Yeah.
So someone like Lachlan Murdoch, the biggest shareholder in News Corp,
they
should demand an investigation into what the hell is going on at the Brisbane Broncos.
10 losses out of their last 11 games. It's dire.
We've watched it. We've watched it happen. And if you want an investigation, let's throw the whiteboard up. You know how the cops, when they're trying to solve an unsolvable mystery, how they have all the facts on the board, and then sometimes they get strings and link them all together, okay?
Whose faces would be up and there on the board? You know, when they put up the faces of the suspects and the victims?
Tony Staggs. You know, I know that's a lot of it's not his fault. Exactly, but there's a lot of not his fault. Like, if he didn't go sticking little Tony into somewhere where it wasn't needed, she wouldn't have sent the sex tape. Like, I'm going to let the German off on this whiteboard. I'm not going to put the German
Who's the German?
The German test star, Anthony C. Seibold, as if you don't remember him scoring three tries for Germany against Belgium. Who doesn't forget? Like, that's why he's the coach of the Broncos. So he's up there on the whiteboard as, mm-hmm. no, I'll leave him alone, but he'll face further investigations later. Tevita Pengai Jr.
Yeah.
You can't write this shit, can you?
No, you can't. Like, it's disappointing.
Did he text message Nick Politis, the godfather of the Roosters, saying, have you got room for me? Yes, he did during the week. And you get back from Sydney and you go to a barber shop that's linked to a, oh, good Lord, you cannot make this rubbish up. So he's in the sights. And you've got to say, Paul White, what have you been doing? I know Whitey, and I've always been a big supporter of the CEO. He's stepping down. He's playing golf. Where has he gone in the whole situation? Paul White has just gone missing. Because there's that. What else was there? Give me another one.
Darius Boyd
stepping down from the leadership group because he doesn't want to be associated with any of that nonsense. And you go, can't you see all of this is happening and why is it happening, etc.? I'm sure somebody knows the reasons on why Paul White. But there is one thing that needs to go on that board, and that should have been right at the top. There is one thing related to the whole thing. 30th of July every year. Last year, all the way back to 1966, it's been happening, okay? It's called Alan Langer's birthday. Now, if you're the boss of that rugby league club and you don't realise that the loosest human I know has a birthday on the 30th of July, and he should have been in those things they tie around ankles, shackles.
Like Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, for a
just
week.
Just gets wheeled
each,
home.
A week each side. If you're running a rugby league club and Alfie Langer's involved, you need to tie him up to something, have four people keeping an eye on him, because that's the person that's going to crack first.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Saturday night, I'm watching the AFL, the Lions destroying the Western Bulldogs. A cracking game. But
Can I just mention how good that was? Lockie Neal was fabulous.
Are they at the top of the ladder now, the Lions?
Second
still.
Behind Port Adelaide.
Someone to get behind, at least. At least they're not second from the bottom of the ladder.
I'll tell you what, wait till later in the show. I'm talking everyone through the lyrics to the Titans team song, but I digress.
I know it's not Dave's fault there, because I'd say he'd just pressed the button as we discovered that Brisbane Lions were sitting second on the ladder, but it is a weird time to break out the song. They are sitting second.
They won the game.
But anyway, they're talking about Luke Hodge, ex-Hawthorn and Brizzy player. He's commentating. He's sideline commentator. Mm. And James Brayshaw, one of the other members of the Channel 7 team, have asked him about his pinky finger.
What?
They said, mate, we get a lot of feedback on Saturday night. People asking us a lot of questions. Hodgie, what happened to your little finger when you hold the microphone? Because his pinky sticks out. And Hodgie had this to say.
10 years ago, it was like it was fused. Jordan Lewis kicked the ball to me at the end and it flicked it and ruptured the tendon there. And I did that four times and now, mate, that's what you get. I try and hold a microphone. It's like when I'm having a cup of tea, I look real posh.
Yeah, like the Queen, or like you taught to drink
stick
tea.
Stick your finger up.
All the other fingers are curled, his thumb's curled.
He can't move it.
His little pinky finger is fused.
So it looks weird when he's holding a microphone on telly with his little pinky out.
Can't fully close fist his hand, his whole hand.
So that's him
stuck.
Like that, yeah.
That's weird. He's halfway to a permanent shuckers. Like, all he has to do is injure that thumb. And
really
we've got a 24/7 shuckers, bro. I want to know about weird injuries. What weird injuries do you have? Like, Marto, you played a lot of sport, of course.
My fingers are all rooted too.
Your fingers are pretty manky.
Mine are just normal. Knees, done the knees, broken a fair few bones. My nose.
Hold your hands up. Because you can't do the number three, can you? You know when you hold your...
That's a crooked ring finger.
That's just from catching the balls. Like Hodgie was talking, when balls hit the point of your finger...
Well, not catching them.
Yeah, whatever.
I can't help you, Nick, because I've actually never been injured, really. Like, I've never broken a bone in my life.
You've never broken a bone?
Rolled a couple of ankles playing netball or dancing or something, because I was a dancer, but no physical contact.
How many stitches do you reckon in your body? Would it be more than 200?
I fell over, piggybacking my brother when I was little, fell backwards and split my head open on a brass pot.
What, how many did you get?
I think like 9.
Is that the only time your body has forcefully been opened?
I split my head open in Abu Dhabi by the pool, actually.
Pissed in.
Too many
four kids, Marto.
So I split my head open twice. Yeah. But other than that, never.
So not straight down the line injuries, Nick. You need
weird injuries. Got that pinky pointing out. 1-3-3-5-3. Give us a buzz.
Corey,
weirder injury, the better.
Corey's compound fracture in his wrist. Is that a weird injury? compound where the bone comes out through the skin.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Quick one. You know Rick, who does all our audio, like he said, have you ever had rib cartilage problem? I said, yeah, I've had two and the lumps are still there. You'll never, ever forget. I said, it's worse than broken ribs. He said, yeah, I got one last weekend. I said, how? Pulling the weeds out at home.
Oh, that's a sad injury.
Did a rib cartilage.
Very laborious.
Build up too much pressure.
And yucky from Boondall, good morning.
Good morning. How are you all?
Yeah, good. Weird injuries. Do you have one?
I do. I do. I broke a rib blowing my nose.
Oh, wow. That's very forceful.
How big was the snot?
It stuck up there, was it?
It probably was helped by the fact I was nearly 9 months pregnant with my now 18-year-old.
So. Just wonder he didn't blow that out. So either that would have shot out or your rib blew. That was a sticky piece of snot.
Wow. Oh, I see. Funny enough, I'm now a student midwife in my last semester, and I will often tell the mums I look after the story, so we always have a joke at the time. So, yeah, going through labour with a broken rib was interesting.
If you see a heavily pregnant woman picking her nose, you think she's taken the safe route.
Yeah. Yes, she's been advised by Anne.
Thanks,
Anne. George, good morning from Mount Gravatt. What's your weird injury?
Many years ago, I was working in Calgary in Canada, and I had like this warm weather event called the Chinook. Oh, and in the middle of winter, I walked to work with just a ball cap on, and at the end of the day, I came out of work, which had no windows, and the weather had changed. There'd been a blizzard, it was minus 42, and I had to walk home, and I got frostbite
in
both my ears.
No, frostbite on the ears.
On your ears. What happens then?
Oh, so they all, you know, around the top of your ear, it all went black, and I had to have surgery and then plastic surgery to rebuild them.
They didn't just clip it to make you look like an angry Doberman. No.
Well, I looked a little bit like a second row for a while.
Does that work? Where did they get the stuff, like, you know, the molded stuff to put on your ear? Is that from your arse?
Yeah, just back in my legs. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't understand the first bit. It was warm in the morning, was it?
Yeah, so they get these, in the middle of winter, they get this thing called a Chinook. And it's when the jet stream changes.
Southerly breeze.
It goes, basically, and it goes from being like minus 30 the day before to plus 6 the next day, plus 12.
Ooh.
And
everyone,
Yeah, so I just went in wearing exactly what I'm wearing today, a pair of jeans and a hoodie and a ball cap. And then by the time I finished my shift, there was like a foot and a half of snow.
Well, we did ask for weird injuries.
And that's up there with weird. Thanks, George. And George are both in the draw to score a session at Stone and Wood Brewery for you and nine mates. Every caller who gets on air goes in the draw. Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Guys, my family and I are stuck in hotel quarantine here in Brizzy, and you know, it's another day, another 23 hours and 40 minutes in a hotel room. It's time for Cody's Quarantine Diary. Woohoo! The weekend is here. As soon as work finished, I closed the laptop and looked out at the pool. Oh, hold on. That pool's across the street and I can't leave the room. On Friday, Queensland Health called us to check on our mental health. I said, guys, it's bloody great. Everything here is awesome. Food's all right. I'm with my family and it's already day 5. This is flying by. Then the official said, Mr. Cody, you got here on Monday. Monday is technically day 0, so you're only on day 4. I said, oh, that is f***ing bullshit. I saw some people in the paper complaining about quarantine, saying it's quite depressing in the hotel. Luckily, I'm a stand-up comedian that spends a fair chunk of the year on the road. If you think 14 days in a nice hotel will cause depression, do a 5-week tour of outback Western Australia mine sites. Margot dropped off a sweet package of toys for Charlie, and then my mate, comedian Luke Heggie, swung by. He called and told me to look out the window, where he proceeded to give me a middle finger from the street. Oh, it's good to have mates. A knock at the door. Ooh, a visitor. Nah, it was just a package. Peggy had dropped off a block of chocolate that he'd eaten most of and some of his own merch. Good one, dickhead. We then got our chance to go outdoors. The police and the ADF take you downstairs to a little area in the sun where you and a handful of others are socially distanced. Most people just enjoy taking in the fresh air, except for some who decided that's the best time to work out. So your quiet 15 minutes outdoors is ruined by the heavy breathing of a dickhead that doesn't realise you can do squats in your room. Get me back inside. There's too many idiots in the wild. 7 days to go.
I don't know how to start this chat I'm about to have. I don't know whether it's about if you've got a perverse liking of women over the age of 60. I know where to find them.
I'm sorry?
All right. There's a real problem going on with this pandemic, and it's something that no one's been prepared to publicise. There's a shortage of elastic here in Australia. Now, I've been sent out to a number of spotlights in the last week by my wife, who is my wife's making
You've
shorts.
You've locked her in a den and you're making her sew her little fingers to the bone.
She's in the downstairs sweatshop. She's been making shorts.
Terry Towelling shorts.
Out of NRL, licensed NRL towels and having a great old time.
At team.towel.
She's the real victim here. Mm. She is the real victim here because you can't have shorts that fall down. You need elastic in the band.
In the waistband.
Oh, can you check Spotlight in Indooroopilly? Can you check Spotlight? Mm. I've been in these Spotlight stores. It's no place for a man, let me tell you. A bloke who specialised in hardware stores like I do, I know where things are, I know what should be next to it. How am I supposed to find, I need bobbins. I'm always getting these bobbin things. I didn't even know what a bobbin was until about 3 months ago. Anyway, there's no elastic to be had anywhere. Mm. They reckon in Australia, I don't know, where do they make elastics? Obviously made out of rubber. And because of all these masks, because everyone, and there's so many handy sewer women in Australia, clearly.
They're now making them.
You know, everyone's going on Facebook or wherever you look, oh, I've got masks and your mate down at Logan.
We spoke to Caitlin.
Yeah, your old mate. She hung them on her front fence after making 350 of them and people grabbed them for free and that was fabulous after the thing. Well, down in Melbourne, of course, it's going nutso and everyone's going, where can I get some? They're now, I see there's websites, there's places on the Facebook pages dedicated to where you can scrounge. It's like the war.
Yeah.
You can scrounge pieces of elastic.
Marto, I second this because I have also seen that there is an elastic shortage.
Where did you see it?
People have been offering up this Caitlin woman because she was doing the masks at her own cost. They said, hey, we'll donate some elastic. We'll donate some cotton fabric. Tell us what you need.
Yeah.
But then everyone's now saying there's an elastic shortage because all of the stock is a priority going to Melbourne because they're the ones that need the mandatory masks.
That's right.
Not
they're taking them all. Mart, I can't even imagine how angry you were at a spotlight. No, you guys got any elastic? We're out of it. All right, where's your sausage sizzle? We don't have one. What is this?
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Nick Cody.
Yeah, good morning, Brisbane. We are here for Ream. They have a massive range across gas, electric or solar.
Oh, yeah, would have needed it this morning, everyone around the joint warming up before they went to work. They're so good, the Reams.
Mm. It's got the best jingle too, I reckon, of all the jingles that stick in your head.
Which bit? Install a Ream, install a Ream, install a Ream.
For the hottest of hot, hot, what have you ever seen? Ream comes on steady.
Steady, hot and strong.
Everyone knows it.
Old heaters had the gong.
Everyone knows it. We are heading for just 19 degrees today, so it is chilly. Nice warm shower. That will go a long way. Ask your plumber to install a Ream steady, hot and strong. Coming up next, how did you get saved? Some remarkable stories of survival on The Big Breakfast in a tick.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Guys, I love when I see something on the news and I think, I cannot believe that worked. Like, I've seen this a few times now. There were three sailors, right? They got lost and they were stranded on a remote Pacific island. They've been found alive and well after writing a giant SOS message into the sand.
Wow.
What did they use?
Have you seen this?
Coconuts?
These guys use
rocks.
Yeah, they use rocks. I saw another story where somebody had just done it with their foot, pretty much, just drawn out a big SOS.
Lazy.
Carved it out. The guys had been missing for 3 days, and then they got spotted by Australian and US military aircraft, and they've come in. Rescued the guys. They've sent a Navy ship out to grab them. They're in good condition.
But 3 days is all right on an island. You know, if you're stuck floating somewhere, that's...
What?
I mean, none of it's great.
There's nothing there.
Yeah, I know.
It's not Morton, you know. It's
well,
not,
we
it's
saw
not
what
stratty.
Tom Hanks did.
Marto's not there fishing with
Tom Hanks turned it into his paradise, didn't he?
Floating would be horrible. Castaway. Right. I couldn't see anything worse than bobbing around. Floating. On an island, you could all, you know, I've seen
like
Survivor.
Exactly.
Well, again, there's no one else there. There's no one there. These guys were on this tiny little island. It was called Pikelet.
Where are we? What close to what? Where were they
this
from?
This is in between Papua New Guinea and Guam. So north of Papua New Guinea, south of Guam.
Yeah, right.
Did they know it was called Pikelet Island? Because if you're stuck there for 3 days, you're hungry, aren't you? So if there's going, geez, we're on Pikelet Island, and they'd be like, stop saying Pikelet, hungry.
Be nice to be on Pancake Island, a bit more space Pancake Island.
Forex Island would be the perfect place to pull up.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think they knew where they were, Margot. Again, uninhabited island. No tourist information centre. Okay, g'day, sir. How are you? Where are we?
Or how long they were going to be there. They thought reception? They might, you know.
Do we get a cool drink and a hot towel on arrival?
Did they try to make fire, you know, using the sticks?
Rug,
really? Did they try any fire? Because that's always going to grab the pilot's attention, isn't it?
A bit of fire. Well, I saw the last people that drew the SOS, they had torches.
Did they have a flare?
And they said a plane was going over and they were flashing the torches.
Or a mirror.
No flares. They had no safety equipment, no rescue equipment.
Rookies.
Just some rocks and a prayer.
Who goes
and
sailing
it worked
without,
out from.
Without what?
Flares.
Without a lighter.
Well, these
safety equipment.
These three silly units. But they got found. And it just made. I want to know, how have you been saved? Who saved you? Were you lost somewhere? Was it a bushwalk? That happens all the time.
You might have
seen the news
Jesus.
Here.
Oh, the Lord.
Saved by
a
the
different
Lord.
Different type of saving.
God came down and
what about if you're,
spoke to me.
What about if firefighters had to get the ladder up to your burning house saved? Do you want any sort of savings?
Any sort of saving. Not the one Margot brought up, but I mean, if you're lost, were you trapped?
Hallelujah.
Who got you out? How did they do it?
What about if you're a barbershop and the Mongols saved you? What about that?
Jocelyn from Carindale's called through on 133353. Nick wants to know, how did you get saved, Jocelyn?
Well, I was only about 4 at the time. I want to make that clear. But my mum decided to wash my doona cover, and I thought I would help her out by trying to put the quilt back in the doona cover.
Oh, it's
and
tough.
I put the corners into each end, and then as I turned around to get back out, I got lost and I wrapped myself up in it. So I was screaming and crying out to my sister, but she didn't hear me because she was in the shower.
Yeah.
So my brothers come running in laughing, crying, and grabbed me and then tried to calm me down to peel me back out of my doona.
You haven't got over this, have you, Jocelyn? Are you in your 30s, Jocelyn?
Just into my 40s, Marto.
Okay, that's a long time for you mentally. Is this the first time you've spoken to anyone about this?
Well, actually, my mum made me send it into a magazine once, and they paid me $150 for my
Oh, wow.
That's life.
That'll cover the psychologist.
Scarred Jocelyn, are you claustrophobic now?
I'm extremely claustrophobic. I'm useless. It scarred me for life.
Now, can I ask, camping, did you always have trouble with sleeping bags?
Oh, yes. And if it's a little tent and you zip up the fly screen, I stay there and I can't move.
Do you even have a doona anymore, Jocelyn, or is it all just sheets? Nah, just give me an extra sheet.
Yeah.
Just a coverlet.
That's the best ever, Jocelyn. You're great.
Scott.
She can ring any time.
Scott, good morning.
Morning, how are you going?
Yeah, good. Hopefully you didn't get stuck in your doona as a 4-year-old. Did you get saved?
No, I didn't.
Oh, good.
I was at the beach when I was about 16 years old and I got caught in a rip.
Oh,
no.
Dangerous.
The lifeguard came out to get me with one of those little buoy things they have, and he got caught in the rip as well.
Oh no.
It was a bad
one. The boat came out to get us, and we got put in the boat, and heading back into the beach, a wave hit the boat, and the boat overturned, and we were stuck underneath the boat.
Oh, good Lord.
With a little air pocket, though, but that's...
Yeah. I haven't been back in the surf since, and that was about 30 years ago.
Wow, we're dealing some real psychological problems this morning. What would be better, Scott, when you heard Jocelyn's story, stuck in a doona or stuck under that boat?
I probably would have preferred to be stuck in the doona, to be honest.
Yeah, true. Yeah, 133. What
did you do to upset Poseidon?
Yeah, therapy hotline. Good morning, Kelly from
Everyone
the Sunshine
okay?
Coast.
Hey, how you doing?
Are you all right?
We're just ironing out some mental health issues here. Being scarred from nearly dying.
Doona,
Kelly.
Doona or boat, Kelly? Doona or boat?
Well, we were stuck out in the desert, in the Tanami Desert, when I was working in exploration a few years ago. The previous year, there was some fuel that was dropped on a helicopter. In a location, and so the wet season, obviously, a lot of water comes through.
Kelly, are you still in the desert?
Yeah,
it's got
the phone's
a really
cracking
bad
up
phone
a bit.
Line, Kelly, are you calling from the Sahara?
No.
Oh,
Oh, no.
Oh, bugger.
I think we might have to leave, Kelly.
Yeah.
Can't really get the details.
Oh, no.
Oh, there's so many people.
Somebody rescue Kelly.
There's a lot of beach rescues. Just might let producer Jack speak to them. But Carol, she was 13 and she got pushed off the sandbank.
Lots of people getting caught in rips. Kylie from the Sunshine Coast. Ash from the Sunshine Coast. Deadly up there.
Does
everyone know
what you must do? You just
swim between the flags.
Well, no. Well, if the rip gets you, though, you let it take you. Don't fight against it. Take you, and it spits you out the back, and you go either side, and then you swim in on the way.
Or you swim sideways, don't you?
Well, if you can get out of it, but sometimes it's so strong.
Who was that first caller again?
Jocelyn from Carindale. Is this the Doona incident? Should we send her a psychologist immediately?
We should send her a C&L tool voucher, $100 C&L tool voucher. C&L Tools Megastore Banyo, because you want to buy tools, not talk to one, cltoolcentre.com.au.
And don't forget, everybody that called through goes in the draw to become our caller of the week, which gets a free pub session on Friday. A
lot of reasons to call the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Oh, I know when you guys love when I talk about The Bachelor, but Sophie Monk, you've got to remember when Sophie Monk was The Bachelorette, yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
I remember the time.
Sophie I don't Monk? Remember the show.
No.
She was on The Bachelorette, all right? So there was a bevy of blokes, just normal guys, vying for Sophie Monk's attention. One of them was a guy called Jared. He got towards the end and there was images of him. He was the final two. She didn't pick him and he sobbed the whole way down the beach in Fiji.
Was he just crying, long pants on the beach? Blonde guy, very red face.
Very red face, blondish hair, bit of a ginger, little bit of a loser. But there was a spin-off, Bachelor in Paradise, where they all go to the island. He fell in love with a girl called Kira. Kira broke his heart. You know, they were on and on off again for a long period of time.
Is it like the beach? Is that where her parents conceived her?
K-E-I-R-A, Kira, not K-I-R-R-A.
No.
However, Kira has since broken up with Jared, right?
Why are we getting this update?
Kira is crying on the beach in pants again?
No.
She has stolen and hacked his Netflix account.
What?
Were they together at some stage?
They were together at some point.
And he had a Netflix account
that they used to watch shows on.
Oh, that's cute.
So Jared thought he had been hacked on his Netflix because every time he would go on to watch Netflix, it would say, Do you wish to resume watching? And he's like, I haven't been watching this. I've been hacked. Yeah, right. So he changes his password. Now, what happens when Kira and her new boyfriend go to log on to Jared's Netflix, he's changed the password. So instead of joining up and getting their own Netflix for $10 a month, they text Jared and say, hey, you've changed the password on your Netflix account. Can you just let us know what the new password is? Or
what?
If you're not still willing to share it, what episode of The Last Dance were we up to? We can't remember.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that?
This is like breaking up and not giving the key back and just keep coming back to the house. And having a sleep while you're not there.
Yes.
My God.
Because I didn't realise you could share accounts on Netflix when we first got it. But then Corey gave his parents our Netflix details when they were living in the caravan on our property and they were watching shows and I had the same problem. I'd go on and I'd be like, I haven't even watched that episode yet. Corey, have you been Netflix cheating on me? Mm. Have you been watching episodes? And we figured it out that it was his parents.
It happens for Spotify as well, because whenever I go to listen to Spotify, one of my children is listening to it and I'm denied.
Nell from Birkdale, how are you this morning?
Hello, darling. I'm on my way home from work. I've just pulled an all-nighter. I am the giver of the Netflix and they give me their Spotify, their Disney, their Stan.
So it's like a trade.
Sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All different people, like my niece and nephew have got my Stan, so they give me their Spotify.
That's brilliant.
My daughter's got my Netflix, so she gives me her Disney.
Oh, wow.
My sister's just a freelader. She just gets my Netflix.
It's like a co-op streaming service.
Can I just check, is there something wrong with mine? Because when my son uses my Spotify, I can't use it. Does that not apply to you?
No, we have pay for the premium thing, so we can have up to, I think it's like 4 email accounts on it, and he just added me, so.
Nell, do you find that with Netflix, when Corey's parents were sharing our Netflix, they'd watch shows, and so then when I'd go on to watch, they'd be up to like season 2, episode 8, and I just want to start on season 1.
No, but you can make them their own profile. You can add a user and give them their own icon. So they go, it asks you who's watching, and you click onto their name, and it comes to what they're doing. And then when you go back to your thing, because it's on a different telly, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. So you have your thing, and they have their thing.
See, Margot, so you can set it up like I've got for Netflix, because my parents use it. I've got Nick and Luch. That's one little thing.
What you're watching and together.
Then they click on the one I've set up for them. And theirs is called Tight Asses That Won't Pay for Netflix. They've got to click on that if they want to watch it.
Gain from Holland.
I'd say that'd be Holland Park.
That's a long way to go to come to say g'day and hear us at the Big Breakfast.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good, Kane. Are you sharing streaming services with somebody or are you pinching theirs?
It's actually about one of my mates that he was on his boss's Spotify account. And then when he got when he left the job, his boss booted him off the Spotify. And when he went to go and set up his own account, he wasn't allowed to because you're not allowed to be part of two families in a one-year period. So.
So he couldn't set up his own because he was already a part of another one.
Yeah, so even though he'd been booted off the other one, he couldn't get the Spotify account.
What's that serves him right for being a tight ass in the first place, I reckon,
that boss,
Kane.
You get sacked, but who would think of sorting out the Spotify, like also cutting him off the Spotify? Like, fair enough to pay him that money, sort out his super, see you later, mate.
Is he going to have to bum music off his mates, like Durry's? Get on, mate, you got that in excess. Can I borrow it? Just for a sec, I'll borrow an AirPod.
It's Triple M's Big Breakfast.
That was Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, you do so much for this town.
Ask your plumber to install a rain. Steady, hot and strong.